This is the Software and Technology Podcast, your B2B show for the best thought leadership in the industry, bringing you information, education, and inspiration, only on MarketScale.
The more diversity of thought and the more diversity of background of the people working at tech companies, the better.
So you have the data scientists, many of them might come from a very technical background. And then you've got the business side. And these are two separate worlds, and I have a very difficult time communicating and understanding what their priorities are.
The blockchain idea was around 91. So about the time that the Terminator 2 movie was coming out, the same idea of in a digital world, we need verifiable documents.
Everything's downloaded. Let's boot up the system. Hello everyone, I'm your host Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B. The 20th century was the century of the electron, but that's old news. The 21st century is a century of the photon, and photonics technology is revolutionizing every industry from Pro AV to IoT to AEC, powering fiber optics, improved homeland security, and topographical scanning, to name a few. The evolution of the products themselves has also been tremendous. Whereas previously photonics were used more for inspection of products, photonics are now the core components powering those products, creating a chain reaction that goes all the way up to internet services, cloud storage, e-commerce, and even deep space exploration. How and why exactly has the technology grown so much in the last few years? And how do manufacturers stay ahead of the diverse and expanding markets photonics are now serving? Here to give us his insight is Glenn Jackling, president of Applied Image. He breaks down the latest and greatest in photonics, from 3D imaging to augmented reality. With these innovations, however, have come challenges in production. Projects reaching into microscopic and monstrous sizes are pushing the envelope of Applied Image's and other photonics companies' capabilities. Fresh off a meeting with the Rochester Regional Photonics Cluster, Jackling clues us in to the dramatic local growth of the New York photonics industry as well, and how it's a positive representation of where the global industry is headed down the road. All right, Glenn, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing this morning?
Great, thanks.
Yeah, great to have you on. How was your weekend? Did you get a nice break?
I did. It was my birthday, so I got to celebrate my birthday this weekend.
Okay, well, happy belated birthday. This is my gift to you. A great podcast experience.
Great, thanks.
So I'm excited to bring you on the podcast to chat about the growth of photonics in the 21st century. Really looking at how this technology has changed, where it's come from, why this century is really the century of the photon, some of your challenges that you've seen with this technology, whether that's in its applications or just in the very minuscule size of the technology, and then looking at the next 10 years of photonics. What is still untapped? Where do you see these applications going in the future? So I'm excited to dig in. Hope you are too.
Absolutely.
So before we jump in, I know your company just passed your ISO 9001 certification audit and also your ISO 17025 audit, which is for the calibration laboratory. Tell me a bit about those certifications, when they passed, and how they're important for this, photonics industry and creating great photonics technology.
Well, in our case, the quality system is kind of foundational, and a lot of our customers are large multinational, multi-billion-dollar companies. And they have expectations of our quality system. And what we're finding is that through the process of having our quality system certified through an independent accreditation, that gives us better credibility in the industry and with our customers. So I've been with the company now 4 years, and it's been an initiative that we took on to formalize our quality system and to push to the point of having it independently certified. The 17025 is for calibration laboratories. It's an international standard as well that talks to the quality management systems of a calibration laboratory and its requirements. It has more technical elements to it. And because an awful lot of the parts that we produce are calibrated, meaning the measurements that we make on devices that are traceable to national metrology institutes like NIST or the NRC from Canada, that that again, the calibrations that are done with more credibility because of that.
Right. Well, especially working with photonics technology where a lot of its main applications are either health related or food related, you know, where you really need to be precise with the information you're gathering. I'm sure customers that are purchasing these products from a company like yours, you know, they want to feel self-assured that you're competent, you know what you're doing. So having these certifications can only help with that.
That's absolutely right. And the both the certifications and the traceability that we offer through the national standards are critical elements to the calibration work that we do.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go ahead and dig into photonics technology, and we'll start with a brief history. You know, I know that the kind of the talk around this industry is that the 20th century was the year of the electron, and now the 21st century is the century of the photon, which is exciting. You know, it's seeing this technology expand and really grow and find new applications. And, you know, we're only, what, 18 years into this century? So there's still plenty of time to see how this technology continues to grow. So I wanted to know, from your perspective, what some of the most recent and exciting applications are in photonics and how you think this new wave of tech is affecting the bottom line for industries that are starting to implement it more and more.
The diversity of photonic technology is what is staggering to me, is the broad range of applications across pretty much every industry in the world, whether it's aerospace, defense, biotechnology. Light is being used in instrumentation and in devices in so many different ways. And what we find is that a lot of those devices need to be calibrated, standardized, and standardized to the point where the results can be compared lab to lab, for instance. And so it's just, to me, a staggering range of applications that are, and that is good, and that is also the challenge that we face, is how do you appeal to and become a, you know, create awareness in so many different industries.
Yeah, I mean, that diversity is both the blessing and the curse, definitely. I mean, what are some of your favorite applications at the moment? You know, some of the newest ones that you think are really showcasing the potential of photonics?
We have, we've just launched a product that has NIST traceable spectral transmission on a slide. So it allows digital pathology labs to calibrate the color rendition of the digital images they are taking and create a standardization that can then be used across labs. We developed that in consult with two different cancer research agencies, and have additional products on the roadmap that will help enhance that across applications.
Yeah. I mean, especially with pathology, how do you feel like this technology is changing the bottom line for that side of the healthcare industry? Do you think photonics are really helping propel, you know, the way that health professionals are able to then study disease and, you know, whether it's caused by pathogens or something else?
I think it's crucial, because there are a lot of artificial intelligence applications that are looking to be developed. And by having standardization of the image processing and the color rendition, that makes comparison much more appropriate for the applications and lab to lab standardization.
Right. Because that's the main issue, is you don't want it to be, I mean, you could have this technology or some different kind of standard in one lab, and then in the next lab over, you know, things are run just a little differently, and that could skew data, that could skew or, you know, delay any sort of actual tangible results from this data. And so having that standard across the board must be great. And when a technology can accomplish that, even better.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So one of my favorite reasons for its growth as well, or I guess one of my favorite applications, would be in the food processing world, you know, where color and really precise color is used to detect problems in crops and in outputs and yields, which is so crucial. Tell me a bit about the agricultural world and how photonics is affecting that market.
It's not an area that I'm directly involved with, but recently I saw a demonstration of drone applications where they are doing spectral scans of the of crops, and they're using the results of that to predict mold growth or the maturity of the plants and whatnot. So it's just yet one more application where an imaging application is in place to evaluate data.
Well, and I think a technology like this is even more crucial in a time like today, where I think we see a lot of challenges in the agricultural industry. I mean, the population continues to increase. We're looking at sustainable ways to try and meet that growth. And something like a technology that can detect and better prevent major issues in crop yields can jump on problems faster. I mean, that kind of proactivity is definitely needed. And I think it's reflective of an overall trend of how can we make all of our actions more sustainable and finding technology that really empowers that.
And using those technologies to analyze the results and the data are crucial to that outcome.
Yeah, definitely. And so I know that your mind is actually kind of fresh off of photonics because you personally just had a meeting with the Rochester Regional Photonics Cluster last week, meeting once a year with this geographic region, talking on the growth in the photonics industry there, some new exciting tech, kind of a meeting of the minds. So tell me a bit about that meeting and some things that you learn from that annual meeting. And what's getting you excited about your geographic region's applications for photonics?
The group itself represents about 120 companies in the New York State area. And what I found out at the meeting was that 120 companies represents about $3 billion in revenue. And is generating on the order of 5 to 7% employment growth, which, you know, every region economic development area is interested in employment, obviously, and to achieve that level of growth in New York State, I think is quite impressive. We have as a community and state negotiated and worked with the federal government to be designated as part of the American Institute of Manufacturing. We are responsible and involved with the Integrated Photonics Initiative, which is basically light on a chip, if you will, a photonics integrated circuit. So New York State and the federal government combined have committed a $500 million investment to develop that technology, and we're at the forefront of that. It's a very specific technology. It as diverse as photonics is. This is one very specific application or specific technology. But once it's created, think of what semiconductors did in the 20th century. This is just explosive, I think, as far as the potential going forward.
Yeah. Do you think that this employment growth, 5 to 7% in your region, is reflective of growth in the photonics industry nationwide? Or do you think that your geographic region is doing something differently that's really setting the bar high for what the rest of the nation should look at, whether technologically or from the, you know, business side of things?
It's my understanding, and I'm not an expert, but it's my understanding that the New York representation in the U.S. is by far the largest and strongest within our country. When you look at global presence of photonics-based companies, particularly in the area of making the core components for photonics-based systems, we're a significant contributor, and in some cases, as large as other whole countries are. The U.S., Europe, and Japan are really the big three participants right now in terms of what I'll call market share, with China growing and becoming an ever-increasing influence as well.
So you mentioned that at your Rochester Regional Photonics Cluster meeting, you and the rest of the businesses there are looking at completing a photonic integrated circuit, which is light on a chip, like you said. And I feel like that is a core component, right? And looking at a value chain upwards, that core component then helps enable products, which helps enable markets, and then that helps enable services in general. What I want to ask is, your geographical region, when approaching growth in the photonics industry, do you focus mostly on the core components? Is that where most of the innovation and, you know, where people should be looking to innovate is at? Or is it more big picture, looking at what services do we need to enhance and then sort of drilling down from there? I guess I'm asking if you start small and go big, or if you start big and go small.
I think the answer is yes.
Both. Yeah.
Both. Yeah, both. Obviously, technologies allow things to get smaller, and the technologies and core components, we're continually challenged with creating critical features on glass substrates that are smaller and smaller and smaller, because the sensors and the systems are more demanding of that. We're working at the wavelength of light and less in some cases. So the demands are for the components to be better and better in order to enable better products.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that size challenge, because it's a really big challenge for a very small, like literally small problem. It's like you're working with these materials in a non-visible wavelength spectrum. They're getting smaller and smaller. And I was wondering, from your point of view, why do you think this has become more prevalent in the past few years? I mean, I know technology in general is getting smaller and more compact and more efficient. Are you seeing that same trend in photonics, and why? And then I guess, what new challenges does that size reduction bring?
Well, it certainly challenges us, because the manufacturing technologies that we have in place have a threshold as far as what they can accomplish, and so there's key investment required to be able to follow that curve, if you will, the technology curve, and stay competitive in that market. If you think about, in the late 1990s, early 2000s, even camera technology, first it went from film to digital, but then even with digital cameras, they got smaller and smaller, and now everybody's got a camera on their phone. And that path is just a good example, I think, of how the evolution of technology is just going to continue to create more capacity for memory stored on a chip. I think the transmission of data is a critical challenge with all the telecommunications efforts, and light has become a key part. Photonics has become a key part of data transmission as a result.
Right. Well, I mean, people are just seeing how efficient light can be in transferring data, and no industry is staying away. I think that's what you mentioned earlier is such an exciting but also challenging part of being in the photonics industry, is that you have a diversity of industries that you work with and for. So, creating products for fiber optics or homeland security or topographical scanning, I mean, they all require different deliverables. So how do you find that the industry stays ahead of these technological changes and industry specifications, providing products and different solutions for different demands and needs?
From our standpoint, it's to try and stay in as part of the conversation as much as we can in the development of new standards, for instance. I participate in an ISO work group for the development of barcode standards. And, you know, our company has been involved with barcode calibration standards since the beginning of barcodes, pretty much. And so we have a seat at the table, and there's continual changes even there in terms of new symbols and new requirements, new applications, and so on, that will continue to challenge the manufacturers of scanners and verifiers and printers. And, you know, we help to provide standardization across all of that.
Right. No, I mean, I appreciate that the main point of that is the conversation aspect of it, right? Is that as the technology continues to increase and get more efficient, but at the same time a little more challenging to work with, you want to be part of that conversation from the beginning of, all right, how can we best integrate this? What industries are going to get the most use out of this PIC, this photonics integrated chip, or whatever other core component you're working on? That conversation aspect of it is essential to not only staying ahead of the curve, but staying in the curve, I guess, if that makes sense. You know, like, you don't want to be left out of the conversation and then told, all right, this is the kind of product we need. And it's like, okay, well, I've never had to create something like this. I don't even know where to begin. What are you actually looking for here? You know, being part of that initial conversation of what services do you need completed? What solution are you looking for? That's essential, I'd say, especially with an emerging technology like this.
It's very true. And our sales team engages with the customers that they talk to on a daily basis in terms of what their requirements are. You know, they often come to us because they have a need for a way to measure or calibrate a device they're building. That conversation helps us to stay current in what's the emerging market need as those pieces of equipment are being created.
So, Glenn, the last thing that I want to ask you on is peering into the future a bit and looking at the next 10 years of photonics. That might be too broad of a time frame. We might just need to look at the next year of photonics, because it sounds like this technology is updating itself and finding new applications at a pretty breakneck speed. But I wanted to know what you've seen as still untapped markets or untapped potential for photonics. You know, as you look at new core components to develop, which then down the line will enable new services or revolutionize old services, what do you see as some of the biggest applications that have yet to be, you know, put to use?
One of the areas that's getting an awful lot of attention that we see right now is augmented reality and 3D imaging, as an example, where light from a component standpoint, light is being used in a structured way to create predictable images where the data coming back from that image can be used for measurement, and whether it's in the biofield or in 3D measurement of a part, light is being used in those applications. And I saw some data recently in the last 3 years, the compound annual growth rate is about 8% for the industry, which, you know, is far surpassing typical GDP growth. And I think that we're just getting started as far as the applications go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this is just the tip of the iceberg, I guess who knows where this technology is going to take us. And that's the best kind of industry to be a part of.
It really is. I had the pleasure of being at Kodak when one category of product was growing 40% a year, and it was a really fun place to be.
Well, Glenn, I really want to thank you for coming on the podcast and giving us your insight on this great growth of photonics in the 21st century, looking at some of the most recent applications, some of the biggest challenges, and where you still think things are going to go. I'm definitely going to be contacting you again soon because it sounds like things change pretty quickly in the photonics world. So it's going to be great to stay updated, see what new technological applications are around the corner and how that's going to affect industries as a whole.
Thank you very much, Daniel. I appreciate it. I look forward to sharing some of the new products that we get to play a part in.
And thank you everyone for listening to today's podcast. And if you'd like to find out more or listen to previous episodes, you can head to marketscale.com/industries and subscribe to previous podcasts, articles, and video content from your favorite industries. I'm your host, Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B. Till next time.